I'm heading off to China to go and visit an orphanage. This will be my fifth visit to the orphanage, and I'm looking forward to seeing the children and the people who work there. But I wouldn't be able to travel and be able to go to China, to this particular place, if I didn't have some identification. So I need to have, here I've got my driver's license, which has got a very old photo of me without a goatee, working with children's check, teacher's registration card, and of course my passport. And I don't know why they don't let you smile when you have your passport photo taken. Mine looks very, very sullen and very, very serious there. But when I go, each time you get stamps in your passport, which is very exciting, when you go to different places. The passport is the thing that identifies who I am. And when I walk up to the counter, the person working there looks at the photo and then looks at me and usually frowns and thinks, oh, he's a lot older and he's got a beard now. But they recognise that that's who I am. I need the identification to show who I am. If you miss your identification or you lose your passport, you're in big trouble, aren't you? I want us to think this morning from this passage that we've just had up on the screen and had read to us from 1 Peter. It's really asking a question. Peter's asking the question, who is Jesus and who am I? It's a good question, isn't it? Who is Jesus and who am I? Jesus at once asked the disciples, who do people say I am? And they started talking about the prophets. And then Jesus said, well, who do you say I am? And Peter responded, you're the Messiah. He recognized Jesus' true identity, who Jesus really is. So let's have a look at this passage very quickly this morning. Who is Jesus? Well, Peter writing here is, Peter's nickname, of course, was the Rock. And he starts off talking here about Jesus being the living stone in verse 4. A living stone chosen by God and precious. Now, most stones that I know aren't alive. They're very much dead. But stones are something that's stable and reliable and the bedrock that you can build upon, build your house upon the rock. Jesus is the living stone. And Jesus is different, isn't he? He's alive today. And people can know him personally. And he's specially chosen by God, handpicked by God. Here's my son with whom I'm well pleased. God sent his only son, Jesus, to earth so that we might know just how much God loves us. And we've seen from our reading here that Jesus is the capstone or the cornerstone. I was reading back in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 5 about Solomon's temple and how it was constructed. It's fascinating reading. I don't know whether you remember that when Solomon was building the temple, that they had to go and get these large blocks of stone. They had to quarry the stone. And it says there in 1 Kings chapter 5 that they had 30,000 workers in shifts of 10,000 would head up to Lebanon and work quarrying the stone. And there were another 80,000 workers working on the project as well. So think of the MCG yesterday, full of all those people. This is all the workers that were involved in it, getting the stone. And as I read through that chapter, it's interesting because it sort of indicates there that they actually had to quarry the stone and cut it to the right shape and size and then, of course, move it to be able to place it in the exact correct spot in the temple. And it says further on there that not a sound of a tool in the temple was to be heard. In other words, no work was to be done, no adjustments made to that stone once it was cut. It had to be exactly right and placed in the right spot. When we think about Jesus being the cornerstone up above the archway or the top of the building or the foundation stone, Jesus is the one in whom we can build our life upon. In verse 8 it says, he causes men to stumble and to fall. The Pharisees found that, didn't they? They didn't know what to make of Jesus. There was a lot of confusion about who Jesus really was. They came asking him questions. Who are you? Who do people say I am? People right through the ages have found Jesus a stumbling block. They've tripped over him because they don't know what to make of him. Or they find his teaching perhaps too difficult. The fact that he calls people to a relationship and to obedience. He causes men to stumble. Peter here quotes from Isaiah 28:16, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, in Israel, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame, will never be disturbed or dismayed." Those people who put their trust in Jesus will never be dismayed. In other words, when difficult things come across our path, and they all do during our lifetime, it's saying that Jesus is reliable. Those who put their faith and trust in him will never be put to shame. He's someone that we can trust in and rely upon. And the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. He's the most important one that holds the building together. So who is Jesus? Well, there, Peter says there's some things about Jesus that we can find out about him. It's there for anyone to read about, anyone to inquire about. Who is Jesus and who are we as believers, those people who are Christians? Well, what's our Christian's ID check? Here, 1 Peter says, in 1 Peter it says, we are like living stones. In other words, we're like Jesus. We're made like him. But each one of us is different. I'm standing at the front here, I look around and we all look a bit different. We're big and small and other dimensions. And we all have a part to play and a place in God's special building. Peter here gives a picture, if you like, about a building that's being constructed. It's not a physical temple. It's a spiritual cathedral, if you like, that's being built up. And each person is put in their right place with Jesus as the head, the capstone or the head. Describes us as being a holy priesthood, a chosen people. A holy priesthood meaning that no longer are there priests that have this access in the temple. We are the priesthood of all believers. We have direct access with God through Jesus Christ, through our trust in him. So we are like living stones, not like just an old ruin that's broken down. We're being built into a beautiful, glorious cathedral, with each of us has our part to play. We're told that we're a royal priesthood as well. A royal priesthood meaning that we're connected to the king. We're part of the royal family. And once we know who we are, that we're connected to King Jesus, it makes a difference about knowing and understanding our identity, doesn't it? It says we're a holy nation. We're a nation that's set apart, spread throughout the whole world. We're just one little part of that holy nation. And the people belonging to God. That's the most important thing, isn't it? That we belong to God, to know where we belong. In verse 11, it says we're aliens and strangers in the world. And Peter, when he started this letter off, in the first chapter, begins by talking about being aliens and strangers. He's writing to the Christians that are scattered throughout Asia at that time. The church is just beginning. Small groups of Christians meeting together. And what they needed to be reminded of was that they are not alone, that they have a place and that they belong and that they are connected. Who they belong to is most important. So we are strangers and aliens in the world. Yes, we are different because we're the people of God, but we're not removed from the world as well. We're meant to be engaged and not ensnared by the world. So what are we as Christians? We are living stones, holy priests, a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's chosen possession. So knowing that, what are we meant to do? I just suggest a few things that Peter has here. He says, as we come to him. So it's saying, as we present ourselves to him, as we offer our lives to him, we're meant to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. What are these spiritual sacrifices? Just like the priest would bring his offerings, present the offering of the lamb or wheat or incense on the altar. Our spiritual sacrifices in Hebrews 13:16 says, our spiritual sacrifices are doing good, sharing, giving a gift to one in need. And Paul says in Romans 12:1, we're to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. This is our reasonable service. It's only acceptable because of our relationship to Jesus. We're called also to declare the praises of him who has called you. Offering up praises to him who has called us. That's Jesus Christ. We're also told to abstain from sinful desires. That means we're to say no to those things that we know that enslave us. We know where we get tripped up. We know where we fall down. And we're told to live good lives so that others will see your good deeds and glorify Him. As I go into China, I go to this orphanage. And when you're there, there's very little you can say. Firstly, I don't speak very much Mandarin, so I can just say hello and goodbye and a few little words. There are some people on our team who do speak Mandarin, who can converse, but most of the time, it's just through loving the children, spending time with them, playing games with them. It's through the relationships that have been built up with other teams that have gone there. It's through the works that we've done in making the place better, in improving the conditions for the children. It's through those kind of actions that people question and say, what are these people doing? Here are people coming from different corners of the earth, from Singapore, from South Africa, from Taiwan, from Australia, from UK, America. Why? What is it that unites them together? Why are they doing this? Why are they showing this concern and kindness? And people have asked us that question, why are you doing this? And we try as best to explain to them, we do it because God has loved us and He loves all people. We are a people belonging to God. 1 Peter 2:10 says, once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We do it because God has shown us mercy. We've come out of darkness into His wonderful light, and it makes all the difference in the way that we respond. So I can't travel without my passport, but God has stamped my passport and says, you belong, your destination is eternity. That's the challenge for each one of us. Do you belong? Jesus says, He is the living stone, and He calls us to be living stones as well. Let us pray.